There's a sutta where the Buddha talks about three kinds of discernment. What he calls overturned discernment, lap discernment, and wide open discernment. He's referring to the way people listen to Dharma talks. A person of overturned discernment, he says, is like a pot that's been turned upside down. You pour water on the pot, but it's not going to collect anything. The same way there's some people listen to a Dharma talk and they don't really pay attention. In the Buddhist terms, they don't attend to it. No attending is more than just listening, lending ear. It also means thinking about it in terms of how does this apply to me, especially my problem of suffering. Then the person of lap discernment listens to the talk, pays attention, asks those questions. But then when he gets up from the talk, doesn't pay attention to it anymore, just drops it. Like a person who has a lap full of seeds. As long as he's sitting down, the seeds are there, but when he gets up, the seeds scatter. Finally, the person of wide open discernment is someone who listens well to the talk, attends to it, asks those questions, and then after he gets up, continues thinking about the talk, attending to it, asking questions about how does this apply. You listen to this, and you also listen to the other ways the Buddha talks about how you should ideally listen to a talk, single-mindedly listening, paying appropriate attention. And then you compare it with what you've heard about what the jhanas say, that when you're meditating while you listen to a talk, let the talk have 5% of your attention and give 95% of your attention to the breath or whatever your meditation topic is. The idea being that if something the teacher is saying is actually applicable to what you're doing right now, take it in. It'll come right in without you having to send your attention outside. Otherwise, stay focused inside. So the question is, why the difference? Part of the difference, of course, is that the jhanas would be giving talks to large groups of people. And if they had a topic where they knew that some people should listen to the topic and other people should not listen to the topic, then they would say that before the talk. Don't send your attention outside. Because there are some people, say, who are spending too much time with other people, not enough time focused on their own meditation. But there are other people who are not spending enough time with people outside. So they want to make sure that the right people listen to the right part of the talk. The jhanas image. With some people, you see them going off to the right side of the road. So you say, go left, go left. Other people going off the left side of the road, so you tell them, go right, go right. If the wrong people listen to the instructions, people going off to the right will go further to the right and get way off the road. Same with the people going too far to the left. So this is a case where you have to attend properly. When you hear something in a Dharma talk, how does this really apply to you? Does it apply to you? This is going to require some discernment. This is why the Buddha talks about this as an issue of discernment, how you attend to a talk. It has some sense that the speaker is not always talking to you directly. Maybe talking to someone else in the room. But you have to be honest about that. I know some cases where Ajahn Fung was directly critical of one of the monks in the monastery. Later on in the night, he heard the monk saying, well, he wasn't really talking about me. He was talking about somebody else there. So you do want to take the instructions to heart, and you want to attend appropriately. How does this talk apply to me? How does this talk apply to the question of suffering? What am I doing that's causing suffering that I didn't notice before, but now the talk is pointing out? Or how might I perfect the path in ways that I hadn't thought of before? This is one of the reasons why when you hear the Dhamma, the Kubra Jhanas, you always have to take into account the fact that they're talking to a particular group of people with particular problems. Those problems might be the same as yours, or they might not be the same as yours. All too often you hear it said that one particular jhana will have one theme that he applies all the time, and another jhana will have another theme that he applies all the time. But if you read widely, say in a jhana li, a jhana cha, a jhana mahabhua, you realize that their instructions deal with all kinds of different problems. And approaches will often surprise you. The jhana cha, for instance, is supposed to be a teacher who taught nothing but let go, let go. At least that's the popular perception. But there was one time when he was invited to the palace. There was an issue at that time between the students of the universities in Bangkok and the army. And both sides were calling on the king to side with them. The jhana cha was there with two other senior jhanas. He was the junior member of the group. They were invited for a meal. After the meal, the king came and talked to the jhanas and asked for their advice. The first two monks said he should develop equanimity. When it came to jhana cha's turn, he said, well, you do have to be equanimous, but you have to be equanimous with wisdom. In other words, it's not just a case of letting go. The jhana mahabhua is famous for being strict, talking about going out and just punching out the defilements. But he had his subtleties, and the people who lived with him said he was extremely kind. As for John Lee, you can look at his Dharma talks and you can see that he sometimes is sharp, sometimes seems avuncular. There's a wide variety of teachings of the various Ajahns, and John Fung liked to point out the fact that Ajahn Lee's writings were among the few that were actually meant to be used across the board. I mean, they dealt with basic principles. Whereas his Dharma talks were meant for specific people at specific times. What's interesting, though, is that in translation, Ajahn Lee works much better in his Dharma talks. There's something more appealing about his Dharma talks than his treatises. But the treatises are good. They give you a framework. Once you've got the framework, then you can figure out this talk belongs in that spot in the framework, that talk belongs here. This talk applies to this problem in my meditation, that one applies to another problem in my meditation, this one doesn't apply to anything in my meditation right now, but maybe someday. So you have to be discerning. It's always a good default mode that you listen to the talk and the first question is, does this apply to me? How does this apply to me? How does this apply to the problem of suffering? When you listen with that attitude, combined with, as the Buddha said, respect for yourself, respect for the Dhamma, respect for the speaker, then you benefit. This, of course, is assuming that the speaker is responsible. That's respect for the Dhamma as well. But when both sides show respect like this, then there's real communication, worthwhile communication. Otherwise, the speaker is just kind of a babysitter in the background, making sure that the babies don't go wandering off in thought in their thoughts places they shouldn't go. Hopefully the talk actually gives information that's useful. It's worth taking to heart, worth attending to well, not only while you're listening, but also after you've gotten up. Reflect on what you've heard. We live in a society where the recordings are available all the time, and they're good search engines, but the search engines have their limitations, and you want to compensate for them by developing a good memory. This is one of the ways in which we develop mindfulness, the ability to keep things in mind. Traditionally, that was how it was done. People were taught to memorize, and they got good at it. So when they picked up a piece of information, it stayed with them. They didn't have to go searching on their phones, searching on their iPads. It was there. And John Utai talks about one time when he was staying with Ajahn Fun. And Ajahn Suwat had just come back. Ajahn Suwat was also a student of Ajahn Fun. Ajahn Suwat had just come back from a time down south. He'd also stopped off at Wanasukaram, noticed that there was a nun who was taking notes of the John Lee's Dharma talks. You thought it'd be good to have some notes from a John Fun's Dharma talks, because otherwise the talks would just disappear into the air. So anyway, he took a little notebook with him, and as John Fun was about to give the talk, he saw the notebook. He said, "I don't want you to write these things down in a book. I want you to write them down in your heart." So it shows the John's not just saying, "Well, don't pay attention to the talk. Let it just be in the background." If there's something that's really worth listening to, worth remembering, remember it. Write it down in your heart. So it'll be there when you need it.